Welcome to the first week of Relationship. I'm excited to be a part of this because my heart for you is to see your relationships shift into another gear, a better gear, a higher gear, because you know that they're founded on biblical godly principles and you're trusting Him. And listen, if you're watching online, excited for you to be here, but live services are going to be a little bit different. Each week we have people that are coming on to stage to share their stories. This week is all about marriage, and I know if you're watching, you're like, well, maybe I'm not married. Maybe you're a student, or you're single, or maybe you've been divorced, and that's okay, because the principles in marriage are principles that are valid for all relationships. They're foundational, so take notes. I don't want you to go through junk in your relationships. I want you to grow through the junk of other people, because we learn one of two ways, truth or tribulation. And so I hope today that you're able to glean some truth that'll help you grow in your relationship, first with God, and then with the people that He's placed around you. So making a marriage that lasts is the message today, and we're going to look at five keys that will help make a marriage last. So we're just going to jump right in. There's five simple keys. We're going to go through them quickly, so buckle up. Here we are. Key number one, the key of purpose. In marriage, what is the purpose and point of marriage? And you might be saying, well, it's procreation. Well, that's a part of it, yes. And you know, we understand that is the sanctity and sacred aspect of marriage, but it is not the definitive reason for marriage necessarily. That we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, where it says that, you know, it's not good that man is alone, and that God created someone who can help him. But what is the key of purpose? I really believe it's wrapped up in this Proverb 27:17, that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Well, what does that mean? That means that there's friction in marriage, because God's plan for you and your marriage is to use your mate to cut away the rough, hard edges in your life so that you can grow into the person that He's created you to be. In other words, the purpose of marriage is not for your comfort, it's for your sharpness, for your refining. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I wrote this as a key to purpose, that God loves your spouse so much that he gave them to you to show them how much He loves them through you. So in other words, you shouldn't relish in the fact, well, that's right, I'm just taking the rough edges off of them. No, that we are called to allow God to use the other person to take care of our rough edges, but for us to show God's love to them through us. This is the key. This is the purpose. So I want you to know that. And I know that a lot of people struggle in the friction of marriage. And listen, you're talking to a guy who's been married for almost 25 years and happily married for about 10 to the same woman because of the friction. But I want us to understand, because I think a lot of people end up in the place in a difficult relationship, in a difficult marriage, and they say, well, I just don't love them anymore, but they don't understand what love is. So I'm just going to share what I share with people who are getting married, usually at the wedding. Are you ready? Here it is, that love isn't a feeling. Love's a choice. It's not about what you get, because love is about giving, and love is about forgiving. So if you're in a marriage and you go, I just don't think that I can do this anymore because I'm not in love with them anymore, what is love? Because love is a choice. It's a choice to commit to that person that you will be the person that God created you to be for them. And when two people do that together, it changes everything. Because love is a choice. It's not a feeling. Feelings come and go in marriage. They just do. Feelings are fleeting. And if you live by your feelings, you will almost always end up at a bad place. But if you live by what you know is the right thing to do, eventually the right feelings will follow. So I'm going to encourage you to know the purpose. The purpose is growth. The purpose is growth. For you to grow spiritually, relationally, emotionally, to grow. Because you need the other person, and the other person needs you. And love is a choice, not a feeling. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. Love gives and is not real concern about getting. The second key, here it is. It is the key of friendship. Here it is. Mark 12, 30 through 31. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you this. If you're married, who is your closest neighbor? It's your spouse. So you are called to love that person, to give to them. But there's something like, if you've ever been at odds with a neighbor, you know what that's like. It's a place of contention. It's a place of animosity. And yet God is calling you to friendship, to neighbor well, to be a good neighbor to the person that you're sleeping with at night. Do you understand the key that you're going to have to work to get along? That you are going to love. Love lays down its life. Jesus says this, no greater love has a man than he lays down his life for his brother. Well, how much more so for your spouse? Are you laying down your life for your spouse? Like I hear a lot of men will say, man, I'd take a bullet for my wife. Yeah, but are you going to take out the trash for her? Can we just put this in practical terms? I know you'd take a bullet. That's sometimes easier than taking out the trash or taking trash from her, if you know what I mean. Like, are you a good neighbor? There is a friendship aspect, a neighboring aspect that I want you, that key is huge. You have to choose to get along. It's amazing how sometimes we, as married people, are nicer to strangers than we are to our own spouse. That's messed up. I've been there. I was the king of that. You've heard the adage, familiarity breeds contempt, and it's true. Are you able to lay down your life for your spouse? To be a good friend? What is laying down your life? It's not taking the bullet. It's swallowing your pride. Swallowing that comment that you know is incendiary. God's put you in a marriage to grow you. Are you growing through it? Or are you just going through it? Are you a friend to your spouse or not? If your spouse is not your best friend, you have a big problem. Better be the big best friend. Third key is the key of compatibility. You know, the most common reason for divorce, irreconcilable differences, that we are called to compatibility. Look at Genesis 2, 18, and then verses 21 through 22. It says, the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who's just right for him. Men, this means you need help. God's not talking about an assistant. He's talking about you needing help. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. So wait a minute. There's a missing piece from men. God with Adam, this is a picture. There is a missing piece. And then it says, the Lord God made woman from the rib and brought her to the man. So men, we're missing a piece. And woman, you were made like the women. Do you see the compatibility that God is saying, I don't want you to do like this. I created you to be like this. We are called to walk together in unity. Listen, you can walk together with someone and there be no unity. Like you can show up at an event together. You can show up at your kids' recital together. You can show up at a football game or a movie or dinner together and there be no unity. You can sleep next to each other. Like you can sleep with each other and there be no unity. Are you compatible? Irreconcilable? No, God created you and put you together because, ladies, there's a place that you will fulfill that man. And men, that God has called you to give to your wife. Come on now. This is basic, simple stuff. It's the key of purpose, the key of friendship, the key of compatibility. The goal is not to be really, it's complementary. It's complementary, not just compatible. Here's the fourth key. The fourth key is the key of needs and desires. And here's what you have to realize. Colossians 2:10. So you also are complete through your union with your spouse. It's Colossians 2:10. So you are complete with your union with who? Through your union with who? With Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You are complete through the union with Christ. What does that mean to us? That means that God meets all of your needs. Your spouse is just going to meet some of your desires. And this is a big one, because your spouse is not the one who completes you. God is the one who completes you. The key of needs and desires is you know the difference, that God meets your needs. You are complete because of Him, with Him, in Him. It's John 15, where we're called to live in Jesus. Please go read that. That is one of the best chapters on marriage ever, and it says nothing about marriage. It says everything about how we are to live. Like He is the vine, we are the branches, and that we're to live in Him. We are complete because of Christ and the work that He does in us, and that His word lights our path, that we've hidden it in our hearts so that we can walk that path, and that we are fulfilled not through another person, but through Him, that He provides our needs and our spouse will provide some of our desires. That's fundamental. Your spouse, your husband, your wife is not going to complete you. That is the work of God in your heart and your life. They can fulfill some desires, but they cannot fulfill areas where you're lacking in significance and purpose and calling. That only comes from God. So stop blaming them. Stop blaming them. It is not their fault that you have this void inside of you. It is your fault for not turning to Christ and saying, Lord, I need you to fill me. You make me complete. You created me. You know me better than anybody. I need you. And then be grateful for the gift that He's given you and your spouse. I hope that makes sense. Here's the fifth key. It's a big one. It's the key of intimacy. Yes, man, you were saying amen. Preach it. Come on, bro. That's right. Intimacy. That's right, man. That's about time you spoke on that. Well, let's define what intimacy is, because if the truth be told, it might not be what you think. Intimacy is really in the name. Intimacy is into me, see. It's revealing your heart and soul to the other person. The byproduct of that may be not just an emotional intimacy, but a spiritual intimacy, and perhaps even a physical one. But the root of real intimacy, it's information. It's you revealing, here's the real me. If you're not going to do that, the good, the bad, and the ugly in marriage, you have a problem. You have a problem because you're not intimate.
Oh, you don't know. I'm really intimate.
All right, buddy. Not really. One of the most difficult things in any relationship, and especially in marriage, is to be intimate spiritually. Men, are you praying with your wife out loud, praying for her? Man, that breaks down so many barriers. Are you emotionally available? Do you only express the emotion of anger, or do you peel back the layers and allow God, yourself, and your wife, man, to see the real you? God sees it. You see it. You bury it. Are you willing to open it to God and to your wife? Intimacy, this may be key number five. It's really the most important key. Who's the real you? Now, we want to bury the bad us. The enemy can only traffic in darkness, and he traffics in darkness in relationships. And it destroys them because you're not willing to open up to the struggles, the pain, the problems that you have. Everybody has them. There's no sin that the scripture says is there's no sin that is not common to all people. Everybody struggles. Are you willing to open up into me? See. Ephesians 5:24. Husbands, this means to love your wives, which means lay down your life for her in the small things. Open up your heart to her in all things. just as Christ loved the church, you're going to have to put your will and your way to death to have real intimacy in your wife. I know what you're thinking about intimacy, but let me tell you, intimacy begins here. Mm. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this, men, to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. Love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. We were made for intimacy. God wants intimacy with you. Men, they want physical and emotional and spiritual intimacy with their wife. So many times, unfortunately, they're just focused on one of those. Wives, they want the same. Spiritual, emotional, and physical intimacy. Kind of in that order. Kids want relational intimacy. All of us want intimacy. That is a heart issue. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for out of it flows every issue of life. And when there are relational issues, the shift happens in a God way when you surrender your heart to Him. So I want to encourage you to surrender your heart to the Father. I'm going to go back to Colossians 2:10. You are complete through your union with Christ. Relationships are healthy and whole in your life when you are healthy and whole in Christ, because you know who He is. You know fully who you are, who He created you to be, what He's called you to. When you get to that place, when you are walking complete with Christ, you will have healthy relationships because you know who you are. I want the shift in your relationships to be on the God side, and that begins with recognizing you have a God purpose and plan that you have to open your heart to. We could probably go through this backwards. The key is intimacy. It affects knowing who's going to fulfill your needs and desires. God, and then some people, your desires. Compatibility, friendship, purpose all come from that place. So, my prayer for you, your relationships shift in a God way because you open your heart to God and others. God's dealing with you, let us know. I hope that through this message that you recognize that God wants to do work in you. The temptation in a relationship is to point the finger at the other person. You know the adage, anytime you point your finger at someone, you've got three pointing back in you. It's so true, because every shift in relationships begin with you. So Father, I just pray that if anybody's listening to me and you are moving on their heart, that they open their heart to you and allow you to do a work in them, that they surrender to you and your way. And Jesus, they come to the revelation that it is only you who makes them complete. May they surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And if that's you, let us know. Love to connect you to life-giving, healthy relationship, at least with healthy people. You'll decide if it's healthy, and God's purpose for you. If that's you, let us know. Click on the link in the chat box beneath. Connect with us on Facebook. Just get in touch with us. Love you guys. God bless.